Hello, my name is Stacey Nechama Goldman. Welcome to Torah Tzimcha Nach Yomi with the OU's Women's Initiative. My name is Stacey Nechama Goldman, and today we will be studying Divrei Hayamim Aleph, Perek Yud, Chapter 10. This chapter marks the transition from the lists of genealogies to the beginning of narrative, starting with the demise of King Shaul. We ended the last chapter with the lineage of King Shaul and his children, and in just 14 verses this chapter, we will see the end of his line. We begin with his final battle, where he was accompanied by three of his sons against the Philistines. The fighting deteriorated quickly to the point where Shaul despaired of victory. We read in verse 3, "Vatichbad hamilchama al Shaul, vayimtzauhu hamorim bakashet, vayachel min hayorim." And the battle bore heavily on Shaul, and the archers discovered him, and he was terrified of the archers. This translation says he was terrified of the archers. While this is the way most commentaries understand the verse, based on what comes next, it might be more appropriate to translate it as the Maharikara does, which is to say that Shaul became ill, chole, from the shots of the arrows piercing him. If he were ill and dying, his next request in verse 4 makes more sense. Vayomer Shaul el nosei kelav, shlof chorbecha v'dakreni ba, pen yavohu ha'arelim ha'ele v'hit aleluvi, v'lo ava nosei kelav, ki yarei me'od, v'yikach Shaul et ha'cherev, v'yipol aleha. And Shaul said to his weapon bearer, "Draw your sword and pierce me with it, lest these uncircumcised ones come upon me and make a mockery of me." But his weapon bearer was unwilling, for he feared greatly, and Shaul took the sword and fell upon it. If he had already been shot by the arrows, asking his weapon bearer to pierce him makes more sense if we imagine the pain he was in. If it is just a matter of fear, this request is even more problematic according to Jewish law. In fact, this verse is the basis for halachic literature which discuss the very sensitive issues of euthanasia and suicide. Once his weapons bearer sees that Shaul has died, he also fell upon his sword. This tragedy caused all the rest of the Israelites to flee, and the Philistines took over their cities. The next day, the Philistines found the bodies of Shaul and his sons and desecrated them in their temples. At this point, the people of Yavesh Gilad heard what the Philistines did to Shaul and his sons. These are the same people who at the very beginning of Shaul's reign were threatened by Nachash, the ruler of the Ammonites, in Sefer Shmuel Aleph, chapter 11. He threatened to massacre the people of Yavesh Gilad. This population had a problematic relationship with the rest of the Jewish people dating back to the civil war between all the tribes against the tribe of Benjamin for not addressing the horrible actions of some of their men in the incident of the concubine on the hill, which is found at the end of the book of Shoftim, and which we have referenced in the past two chapters of Divrei Hayamim. Complicating this mortal threat to the people of Yavesh Gilad further is the fact that Shaul, a member of the tribe of Benjamin, hailed from the very same geographic location where this heinous crime took place. When Shaul heard about the threat to their existence, he courageously garnered support of the still tribal nation to come to their defense in a dramatic act of slaughtering a yoke of oxen into pieces and sending it throughout the land with the threat that whomever would not join Shaul against Nachash, this would be done to his oxen. Without going into the gory details, this is very similar language to the story of the concubine on the hill mentioned earlier. The fact that the entire nation was able to unite to defend this particular village under the leadership of their Benjamite leader, two peripheral entities due to the events of the not-so-distant past, was a tremendous accomplishment for King Shaul and cemented his leadership over the entire people. The people of Yavesh Gilad were eternally grateful, and they risked their lives to retrieve the bodies of Shaul and his sons to give them a proper burial in their village. Lending even more tragedy to the death of Shaul, the Radak points our attention to the specific language of the Philistines' behavior in verse 10. V'yasimu et kelav beit Eloheham, v'et gulgalato tak'u beit Dagon. And they deposited his weapons in the temple of their gods, lowercase g, hence why I was able to say Eloheham, and his skull they impaled in the temple of Dagon. Shaul's skull was impaled in the temple of Dagon, because his skull was severed from his body. The Radak reminds us that in Sefer Shmuel Aleph chapter 11, the bodies of Shaul and his sons were impaled on the wall of Beit Shan. The people of Yavesh Gilad were not able to retrieve Shaul's skull. After burying them, they fasted for 7 days. Rashi explains that this is significant for a number of reasons. He says, they fasted 7 days, corresponding to the 7 days that they, the Ammonites, gave them to see if a savior would come to save them, at which time they fasted 7 days. Perhaps a savior would come to them. Since Shaul came and saved them, they fasted now 2 7 days, and also, because of the mourning, M-O-U-R-N, which was customary to observe 7 days, because they were also their kinsmen. For when Israel slew the inhabitants of Gibeah in the incident of the concubine in Gibeah at the end of Judges, the people of Yavesh Gilad gave their daughters to Benjamin when they grabbed them from the dances. The last two verses, 13 to 14, give enigmatically explain Shaul's tragic and untimely death. Vayamot Shaul b'ma'alo asher ma'al b'ashem, al dvar Hashem asher lo shamar, v'gam lish'ol ba'ov lidrosh, v'lo darash b'ashem, v'yemitehu v'yasev et hamalucha l'David ben Ishai. And Shaul died because of the treachery that he had committed against the Lord, concerning the word of the Lord that he did not keep, and also because he had inquired of the dead spirit. And he did not inquire of the Lord, and he, God, slew him and transferred the kingdom to David, the son of Jesse. This could be referring to many different episodes, some from early in Shaul's reign, and at least one immediately before this war with the Philistines. The Midrash in Vayikra Rabbah Emor 26 tells us that Shaul died as a result of 5 sins, while referring to him as a tzaddik. Before enumerating the sins, it is important to always keep in mind Shaul's greatness while recognizing his fallibility. The 5 sins were 1, Me'ila, taking from the banned property of Amalek; 2, destroying the Kohanim of Nov, see 1 Samuel chapter 22. 3, that he had mercy on Agag, the king of the Amalekites, see 1 Samuel chapter 15. 4, that he did not wait for Shmuel in the war against the Philistines as Hashem decreed, see 1 Samuel 13:13. 5, and that he resorted to necromancy and did not seek out Hashem regarding to going to war, this war, against the Philistines. You can see 1 Samuel 28. The context of this particular midrash is fascinating. Hashem was showing Moshe Rabbeinu each generation and its different types of leaders and prominent people, both good and evil, judges, providers, prophets, and even thieves. Here, he shows Moshe Shaul and his sons falling upon the sword. Moshe asks incredulously, "The first king to stand upon your children is pierced by a sword?" Hashem answered him with the first words of Parshat Emor, where this midrash appears, "Tell the Kohanim," reminding us of one of Shaul's greatest mistakes in killing all the Kohanim of the city of Nov. As for the last verse, that he did not inquire of the Lord, Radak reminds us that in the book of Shmuel, we are told explicitly that he asked Hashem what to do, but God did not answer him. Once he resorted to necromancy, conjuring up the spirit of the deceased Shmuel, it was as if he had never sought out Hashem in the first place. Even though Hashem did not answer him, he should have kept trying and done a full tshuva and not add upon his already grievous sins by seeking out the necromancer. I mentioned before that Shaul is called a tzaddik and a righteous king. Why does our chapter end with him in the most negative light? Sefer Shmuel completes the story of Shaul with King David's beautiful eulogy of Shaul and his son Yonatan, reminding us of their greatness. The Malbim explains that the intent of the author of the book, who was Ezra, was to raise the level of David and to show his right to the throne and how Shaul was not worthy for the kingship to continue with his line. This is why this story is mentioned at all in Divrei Hayamim, to give a background to and justification for King David's reign. Thank you for studying together, Le'ilui Nishmat, Malka Esther, Batzvi Yosef.